Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everyone. Welcome to episode 272 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm going to send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
And it's a large show today because we've been off air for a couple of weeks. We got a lot of stuff to go over.
It's excited.
It is. It's very voluminous, if you will. Of course, we had the trivial trivia. We have a bunch of reviews today. I think a whopping dozen between Trevor and I. A bunch of trailers to go over, as well as the box office prediction game for San Andreas and Aloha. Let's waste no time because we have such a large show and get right into that game.
It's not a question of enough, pal. A zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Well, I'll tell you what I tell most of my lady friends. I'll be quick.
I know. I heard.
What, you know?
I heard this about you. But hey, I was not far off on Tomorrowland. I'm feeling kind of good about my Tomorrowland prediction last week.
I wouldn't feel so good if I were you. You're in sixth place.
I've dropped a little bit here. I'm having a hell of a year.
I'm in second.
I know. Doing
pretty good.
Yeah, you are. Huh? You're making a move there.
I'm doing pretty good.
You went what? You went 30-40 on Poltergeist and Tomorrowland?
Sure. I don't remember. And I can't get on the site right now, so I'm not allowed to know my numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been locked out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did 30. Poltergeist actually kind of underperformed there. It looked like it was going to do well, and then...
It had a great opening day, but fluttered the rest of the weekend.
But, you know.
We got San Andreas here, which is, to me, the biggest horror movie of the year, being a California resident, so this scares the shit out of me. And I think this is going to open up big. I was looking, I thought, to be in the early or mid-30s, but as I look more and more at this trailer and the people are talking about it and there is kind of that Roland Emmerich-esque spectacle to this, I bumped my prediction to an even 50. And I think I might be way off, but hey, I'm in sixth place and I said balls to the wall.
Well, I said 45, so.
Oh, okay. So you think it's going to overperform too? Because I'm hearing a lot of pundits say mid-20s, and I don't know. That seems low to me.
I think that, you know, Tomorrowland not doing so well, Mad Max doing well, this all bodes well for... San Andreas, doesn't it?
I agree.
Like, this is the kind of crappy movie people will go out and see, and this will die on home video. I don't think people will give a shit, you know, next year. 10 years from the line, no one will remember what the hell this is.
No, this will be on TNT for the rest of time.
Yeah,
on TNT till forever.
But it looks good. It looks like an event movie, so I think people will come out and see it, or I hope.
It's been a while since a good disaster flick. I just happen to think this one is horrific. So, moving on, Aloha. The Cameron Crowe film that is just getting a terrible, terrible rap right now with critics. Yeah. Although today they've released the first 8 minutes online. So if you go to Variety.com, you can actually watch the first 8 minutes of the movie. They're trying to combat some of these negative things here, especially for Crowe coming off of really two movies that have underperformed previous to this. Where are you going on this?
He's been pretty bad, you know, as far as... pulling in the money wise. I still like him. I think he's a great director, and I love the for sure, you know, it's gonna have a good soundtrack. I'm gonna go 15 on it.
I went right under that at 13. Yeah, although I've heard as low
as
8.
I'm so tempted to go 10. Yeah, but I went 15.
Yeah, I think this is gonna perform at least as solid as Elizabethtown, which was that Orlando Bloom.
You would hope thing. So. With such a good cast, you'd think that this would bring out, you know, someone, right?
This looks like the kind of movie that, you know, 20 years ago, people could have, word of mouth would have propelled this. It seems like an odd choice to be releasing in the summertime for whatever reason. I don't know why. This seems like something you would hold to at least October, if not a little bit later in the Oscar corridor. Even if it's not an Oscar contender, it just seems more serious for fall. But hey, what do I know?
Well, there was a movie. I mean, there was The Descendants, if you remember that. It kind of
which
this
reminds me of quite a bit. Yeah,
which was a comedy drama. And it had a great cast as well, and was headlined by George Clooney. And it went on to make quite a deal of money for being such a small release. You know,
I really like Crowe, and I'm rooting for the guy. So I do hope this
But it had a very weak opening, both limited and wide. So
Hey, well, We Bought a Zoo did this, way overperform. So the guy,
yeah, which, you know, I really like, but again, is not, you know, the greatest of movies.
But when the guy makes a movie that is good, mm-hmm. I mean, Almost Famous makes you want to hug yourself. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a great movie. Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, We Bought a Zoo, I like still quite a bit, but it's just not, you know.
I'll even stick up for Vanilla Sky in a lot of ways because it's just so.
Yeah, I like that too. But it's still bizarre. Not, you know, that's not going to be something that's, you know, going to, I don't know, last. The people are going to like necessarily.
Yeah, it's not a classic by any terms.
It might be to certain people, but yeah. All right, let's we're done.
We're done with that. Go to Box Office Ace and play the game. Let's move on. Let me give you a little trivia here.
Oh boy.
I was thinking about this. What was the Best Picture nominee? The only Best Picture nominee based on a television show. Can you name it? The only television show that was ever adapted into a movie, and that subsequent movie was nominated for Best Picture. It's only been done once. Can you name that movie? And it's a movie you've seen. This is our generation.
Oh, so it's recent?
I mean, I'm not going to say recent, but it's in our lifetime. It's in our lifetime.
30 years ago?
I'm not going to, decades and shit? I mean, what is this?
That's right. Yeah, narrow it down for me.
We're going to, no. We're going to get back to this, all right? We'll come back to this after our break, all right? Because you don't have this one on the tongue. Hey, you've been good on the trivia lately. You've had like 5 or 6 in a row.
I don't know this one at all. I mean, I probably will when you say it, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember it.
You know it for sure. When I say it, you're like,
$1 Million Baby. No, not even close.
No, it's Look Who's Talking. It's Look Ooh. Who's Talking. I'm kidding. Let's move on.
Baby Geniuses. Okay.
Fox. You hear about Fox is rebooting League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Because
they're rebooting stuff?
Yeah, because they're rebooting things all over.
Who's rebooting stuff now? What?
Why is Fox rebooting the League? First of all,
I love that movie.
There's nothing really wrong with that movie. If you look at that movie, it tells this tale.
Well, it's old.
It's old. What do you mean it's old? It's from 2003.
Yeah, it's old. You got to resell it.
What is it? Why? Because it just sits there.
It's one of the better Norrington movies.
Well, aren't all Stephen Norrington movies good?
Okay, it's one of the only Norrington movies.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones of the two, that and Blade. I mean, at this point,
yeah,
the guy's
I liked his straight to video one. You like that one too? I can't remember what it's called now. The robot one,
Death Machine.
Yeah, Death Machine. That's a good one.
Death Machine is fantastic for a streaming pick. There's your online streaming pick of the week, Trevor.
It is.
Yeah, is you didn't have one. Now you got anymore? One. I just gave you one.
You watch Zombievers? That's streaming. I haven't seen that yet.
Stay away from Zombievers. Those things have teeth.
No.
I'll bite you.
I got the old ones. They're toothless.
Those are mummies. Fucking dragons. But this League of Extraordinary Gentlemen situation, I mean, this was the movie that made Sean Connery say, fuck it, I'm not doing movies anymore after like an illustrious 50-year career. So
that was his last movie?
Yeah, he punched out Norrington on set. Look it up. It's on Wikipedia. It must be true.
No, but that was his last movie?
It was.
Are you sure?
Pretty positive. He said, fuck it after that one. He did like Finding Forrester and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and that was such a horrendous shoot.
Finding Forrester was so good.
Yeah.
He was old. I can't believe he's still alive.
If he was old or young, I mean, the guy just retired at some point. I mean, if you couldn't coax him back. Yeah. I hate to say it, but it's like it's one of those things where, like, when Sean Connery passes, people are gonna be like, "Well, kind of wasn't he always old? Because he played Indiana Jones' dad when I was like 10, so I just kind of always assumed he was old. And then as I grew older, he wasn't really aging.
He's so out of the spotlight now.
He's been out of the spotlight for quite some time because apparently that movie's quite old. I mean, what's next? The reboot in Van Helsing? Is that old?
Yeah,
that's old to you.
It's pretty old. The two Stevens. Anyone whose name starts with Steven, if you made a movie, they're going to reboot it.
They're going to be doing X-Men movies. I mean,
Spielberg movies, too.
I mean, they're doing that now. They're rebooting the series as they're continuing the series. Good God.
Sure. But they're going to lose Hugh Jackman at some point, right?
Only because he can't keep consuming 5,000.
I think he should just keep doing it, and they should just have Wolverine get old and flabby.
Wolverine with the dad bod? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's the one superhero movie they haven't made yet.
He's crushing Bud Lights. Fuck it. Hey, you hear Paramount's already putting Mission Impossible 6 into development before Mission Impossible 5 hits theaters? Yeah. Surprised you at all?
Not really. I mean, when you think about it, like, Tom Cruise is a Scientologist, and don't those guys always are, like, looking forward?
The next step, they're saying? He's trying to clear out? I mean, regardless.
They're gonna make it, right? I mean, he's probably signed up for infinity of them, right?
I do think this next one...
He just has an open contract.
This next one has a... Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. But I thought with the Edward Zwick being signed on to come on and do Jack Reacher 2, I thought that at least makes a little bit more sense, because it's almost a maturing of franchises where instead of hanging out of planes and shit, you're playing a cop badass, but it's a little bit more of a mature type role, if you will. But this guy just refuses to go quietly into the night.
But they've turned that... going to
be doing these.
Yeah, but I think it makes total sense. I think that the Jack Reacher stuff's great, but it's a complete wrong way that the industry's going, right? Look at Fast and Furious. And this is falling right in lines with that. If you want to make money, don't worry about the story. They just want stunts. Right? And apparently that'll make you over $1 billion worldwide. It's all that's required.
$1.5 billion at this point for Furious 7, which is mind-blowing. Lionsgate's also announced that Now You See Me, the sequel, part two, is getting a sequel. So now we'll have Now You See Me 3. The movie trilogy, the most improbable trilogy of our era, is coming.
Yeah, why is
this? Did anybody really? I mean, the first one was kind of a one-off to me. I was over it before I even saw it.
It was okay to watch, but it really wasn't very good.
It reminded me of a good episode of Heroes.
And yeah, it was not. It just wasn't anything. And it was so promising. It was like, oh my gosh, this thing's going to have a twist, and it's going to be magicians, and it's going to be good. And it was just like, hey, we do magic. This money. Okay.
The term self-important comes to mind when I think of it. And now you're getting part two and part three. So Lionsgate's looking for other franchises, obviously, to propel them, especially after this Insurgent, which performed well at $130 million but didn't best the original. So that's got to concern them a little bit, especially with Hunger Games coming to an end, or seemingly coming to an end here this year.
So Now You See Me is the next thing.
I think, you know, with the Expendables even kind of exhausting itself, and Tyler Perry movies not doing all that well anymore, and Saw obviously is not in the game, they've lost a lot of staples, so they're looking for something to grasp onto. I think this is kind of interesting. Justin Lin is set up at Cinemax to develop a series titled Warrior, which is going to be based on the scribblings and notes and ideas that Bruce Lee had for a TV show before his untimely death at 32 back in 1973. Pretty interesting that Justin Lin, who already did a quasi-mockumentary called Finishing the Game about finishing the last Bruce Lee movie, Game of Death, is delving once again into the world of Bruce Lee. I like that this has a Bruce Lee angle, but isn't necessarily about Bruce Lee, if that makes sense to you. I'm curious to see what this ends up being. I mean, this is going to be obviously very mutated from the original scribblings into what we see on television, I imagine. But I'm curious about this, at least.
Well, I heard it's got a time slot in the early wee hours of the morning, since it's basically softcore.
Yeah, it's right? Soft Warrior.
Skidamax, isn't that what it was? Yeah.
Remember when that was all that Cinemax was synonymous with?
Anymore?
Well, I mean, they have a couple.
That's why
shows,
I haven't been watching Cinemax.
But they never really made that jump away from that distinction. It's always been HBO's dirty cousin that they don't want to bring to the party. Like, you can't sit at the table, but we'll give you some shit. We'll give you our leftovers.
Exactly.
All right, you want to get in the reviews, or you want to take a quick break?
Let's do the break now.
All right.
Proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Look what everybody is saying about the lair of the unwanted.
I know! Jess and Rachel at Real Insights said, the lair is our number one favorite podcast.
Yeah! And Nick Job of Demented Podcast said, I look forward to every episode of the lair.
You know, Dylan Fields of the Lambcast says, I'm planning to get a lair of the unwanted tattoo across my face. I love it so much.
Yeah, and Mad Hatter of Matinee Cast said, I fucking love this podcast. I would die for it.
Yeah, Scott and Whitney at Frankly My Dear said, we got married thanks to Layer of the Unwanted.
Kai of the MILFcast said, dude, I'm speechless. Check out the almost Lammy-nominated podcast about the best of the worst movies that's out there. Come see what the fuss is all about. Check out The Lair of the Unwanted on iTunes.
I feel like we play that one a lot.
I love that they got Walk On By by Isaac Hayes in the background of that. I just think of Dead Presidents. I'm trying to hear that. Excuse me, I had a leprechaun in my throat. But he was nice to me and took me out. All right, let's get into the reviews.
Okay, do it.
Oh, no, let's have the trivia question here. You want the answer yet?
Yeah, sure.
No, sure. You're fucking salivating at the mouth for it, I can see. Yeah, you don't want it. I'll wait till the end then. You don't want it, huh? This guy, you don't want it? You want it? You don't want it? You want it? Okay, we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. Ready?
Sure.
The Fugitive. The fucking Fugitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, didn't spark you there?
They're going to reboot that, too.
Bullshit. What, the TV show or the movie?
Well, it doesn't matter. But in a movie form, I heard they're completely disregarding the last movie. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Didn't everyone disregard the last movie? Even Tommy Lee Jones did.
Is it going to be a one-armed man again?
Doesn't it have to be? I mean, isn't that the whole fucking
does it?
Point?
It could be like a different appendage.
It's like iRobot mixed with The Fugitive, right? All right. Let's get into these reviews because we have a slew. First of all, Tomorrowland, the movie, the number one movie of the country as of the weekend because it's fallen over the week to Mad Max, rightly so. Tomorrowland, I gave this 2 out of 4 stars. This is kind of a disappointment for me because I'm expecting a lot. And really, this is a flimsy, overly political, just didactic and flimsy at the same time. It looks like it's like a 70s Race to Witch Mountain slash Tron slash Black Hole. And let me tell you what, there really doesn't bode well that Disney is licensing the Star Wars theme music to be used as visual punchlines for Keegan-Michael Key when he comes through and looks kind of like Chewbacca. I mean, that doesn't, you're already just throwing shit out there. It really is not a good thing. And that's just one of the many thoughts that go through your mind as you watch this movie, amongst other things, is like, is this National Treasure Part 10? Like, what is happening here? They steal ideas from Men in Black, from The Rocketeer.
Sounds perfect for home video.
It's really, that's the thing is, if you watch this at home on Blu-ray and you got a nice setup, mm-hmm. you might get a kick out of this with your family. It's obnoxious. It's not going to hurt anybody. But at the same time, for top dollar and taking a trip to the theater and for what they were advertising, this is not what I was expecting. It is it's subpar. Moving on. What did you see? What do you got for me?
I don't know. Name something off the, I don't have the list.
Oh, you don't got the list here.
Name something off my list.
I want to know what you thought of Wild Card, which is that Jason Statham remake of the Burt Reynolds movie Heat.
This movie was so awesome for the first half, and then this thing takes a left turn, and it just never recovers. And it's incredible. I mean, this thing's like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? This is one of those movies where he's just mindlessly wanders. And weird shit. The thing is, it's so fucking interesting. It's so well directed, and Statham's great in it. This is, of course, directed by Simon West, who, you know, I really don't like. I like his directing, but normally I wouldn't give him
anything. It's based on the novel and screenplay by William Goldman, and the original movie was Heat with Burt Reynolds back in the 80s, and what you're describing is exactly what happens in the Burt Reynolds movie.
Well, where same source material, so.
It's clever, but you're like, what is happening in this movie? Like,
oh,
what,
you,
why
yeah,
is
there's
he gambling?
Whole
why can't
sequences
he get out of here, Nikki?
Where you're like, what is going on? But it plays, it makes sense in the end, you know, it just doesn't make sense in the moment. Necessarily, so you kind of have to keep watching it before you get it. But I'm torn because I like the setup to it so well because it's just a basic, you know, private eye type setup. He's not a private eye; he's like a bodyguard, but he's basically, you know, pulled in to find this guy who beat up this hooker friend of his. That's so great, and that whole setup is great, and when he finds the guy, and all that shit goes down, and then like you say, then he starts gambling, and you're like, wait, wait, this is a different movie.
Like, why is this in here?
Whoa.
That's how the first one was. In both of the versions, because I have seen a few minutes of that version that you're talking about, the wild card, much like the Burt Reynolds one, it has a great opening scene where he lets a guy beat him up in front of a girl so the guy can get the girl, and you realize later the guy's paying him off for that. It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie, really.
Oh, you realize it right away.
Yeah, but it's kind of... It's kind of a cool
thing.
Well,
it does. They play it into it. He, you know, because the guy gives, he gives the guy some of the money back, because he I'm not going to go into it.
But so you recommend basically wild card?
He's a good guy. They play it up like he's a good guy. They show you that he's good at the core, and then they kind of strip it all away. It's really weird. Do I recommend it? I don't know. If you watch it, then you watch it. I don't know.
Is it a narrow miss for you or what? Did it work for you or not?
It did, but it's weird. I don't know if I could recommend it to anyone.
You like it better than The Mechanic, it sounds like, which I liked a lot.
I did like it better than The Mechanic, but I don't know. Maybe the weirdness saved it in the end.
But not as much as Homefront.
Maybe not. I don't know. William Goldman did actually write the screenplay on this, so it might follow the novel better than the other. I don't know who wrote them.
It was Goldman. They were originally.
He wrote the other one too?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably the same script. He turned in the same script.
He just changed the dollar amounts. The show's
that'll be
worth gambling, right?
That'll be $2 million. There you go.
Somewhere right now, Burt Reynolds is cursing Statham.
Yeah, but Statham's really good in it. This just reminds me of why I watch Statham movies and why Statham movies don't go anywhere, because they're so fucking weird.
I like one called Blitz that he did a while back. That was very... Mm-hmm. Different. That didn't get theatrically released.
He picks very well. He's English, and he picks very English, very foreign type scripts. I don't know.
He mixes it in good with the other stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw Mad Max Fury Road, and I gotta tell you, it's as good as everyone's been saying it is. But it's a little off-putting. It's so original. As it started, the first few minutes, I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? I didn't like the flash frames and the sped up shutters and. The kind of weird cutting that was going on. It was a little too much. And even when I walked out of it, you start going, well, there's not much talking, and the plot is really about them going from point A to point B, realizing they really need to go back to point A, and that's that.
That's all of them.
Right.
That's a Mad Max movie.
As I sat there and time kind of went by and I started thinking about different things and the spectacle of it and just how – much I liked certain things, this thing grew on me in memory, you know, because it was so overwhelming, because there's so much ingenuity on screen, from the machinery to the character design. I mean, I love the way they make this bad guy look. He looks like something, he looks like the bad guy from Ghost of Mars, but a little bit more badass, you know. That's what I kind of thought of there. And let me tell you what, Charlize Theron is the closest thing to Ripley that I've seen on screen since Ripley. I mean, she was reminiscent of Alien 3 very much, not only just because of the shaved head, because of that kind of steely-eyed determination, and Hardy's great, and they do a great job with the virgins that they're sneaking out, and like the purity and having them in white and the cleanliness of that versus the ugliness of everything else, and just the movie just it's got imagination to spare. I think you'd love it personally. I know you're a huge fan of like the Wasteland Wanderer genre, and that's
probably wind up buying this one.
I mean, but I'm telling you, if you're ever going to get out and see something on a big screen, I would recommend you see this on, I don't know if it's playing on the IMAX deal, but this is something that you should see on the largest possible screen. It's crazy.
I want to see it. There's so many movies coming out this summer that I want to see.
I know. I'm trying to catch up with them all myself, and it's just coming at you like fastballs. But this one so far is the best one. Maybe one of the better movies I've seen, if not the better movie I've seen this year. I put it up there because, and I'm telling you, you'll understand visually this thing is saying a lot. It's just not in the dialogue. And some people are leaving this thing cold because of it, but it's not about that. This is about execution. And when the action's going, I mean, it holds you in its grip. It really does. And it's the sound design, everything about this thing is beautifully done. So I highly recommend it. All right. So I want to hear what you thought about Wild, that Reese Witherspoon movie. This was nominated for best performance by an actress for Reese at this. What did you think about this one?
This movie's great. Yeah, it's really good. She's great in it. It's very simplistic. It's literally her, you know, walking the the 1,100-mile long trail. So the whole movie is her walking. And with flashbacks, of course, with her dealing with the death of her mother. And, you know, she's a sex addict and she's got all these problems. And so this is kind of her way of getting over that. But it was really good. That's really all it is. And so the danger is obviously she's a single female out in the wilderness with no one else around. And there are, you know, strange men out there and who knows, you know, what. So there's those moments where you're like, she's about to get raped. But that's really it on that.
What else should I say?
It's really good.
It looked to me like, what was the one with Emile Hirsch? Sean Penn directed.
Oh, when he was on the van or whatever.
Yeah, Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. I never saw that one, but yeah, probably very similar.
I didn't care for that movie. I was wondering how these two stack up here. Now, this isn't like something like 127 Hours or something like that, where it's a crazy drama and.
No, she's. It's just. It's you just hike along with her. You know, she's hiking through the thing and what she has to go through. You know, the sores on her body, from carrying the large backpack and her kind of. Just because she has no experience, no idea how to do this. She didn't prepare for it, unlike other people she meets on the trail have been preparing. You know, a lot of like athlete type people who try to do this. And it's, of course, based on true story, based on a book. You know, so it's a little more down to earth than a lot of movies that you're gonna see out there. You know, nothing actually wild happens in the movie, but you know, she herself is, I guess, wild.
So she's good in it. You recommend it.
She's really good in it, yeah. And it's just a toned down, you know, very simple, easy biographical drama about someone that you don't know. So yeah. Might as well, you know, if it's real or not. But I just, you know, it is real, so it's not, nothing goes apeshit in it. You know, it doesn't try to do like anything crazy. It just takes a real life thing. Yeah. No, not really. I mean, there are, obviously there's some embellishments and there's some things, setups and payoffs and things done to make it a story worth watching. But yeah, it's nothing crazy happens in it, but still very good. I would recommend it.
Briefly here, I saw The Avengers. I just want to catch up with something that you had said. You recommended it on our last show. I recommend it as well. I think it's solid, but man, there are some problems with that movie. I didn't like it nearly as much as the first one, mainly because... I mean, I don't want to get too far into it because you sent me an article where somebody really pointed out flaws of it. So the flaws have been pointed out. But
the problem is it's just not as good as the first one, right?
That's the problem to me.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's just a sequel. It's just a movie. It's like
it's a standalone.
It's not a cornerstone. It's not a coming to. It's nothing. It's just there. It's like a story. Here's some more shit for you to keep you to tide you over till the next stuff.
I don't recall when the Bruce Banner Black Widow relationship got so hectic and like deep out of nowhere. Like that was already at level 10 as the movie started. And I thought like, did I sleep through movie? Like where did that happen?
There was
like,
stuff obviously that happened in between the movies.
Right. But I just thought like, I don't know. I didn't nearly care what was going on. And I just think as much as I thought Ultron was well rendered and it was the next plausible hero, I want to see the main guy, I want to see that. I like Loki so much that Ultron just doesn't. It didn't.
But the character dynamics weren't there, right, at all with him. They didn't really play out with him. But you can understand now after seeing this. It's almost like you can understand, especially after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy and seeing how kind of James Gunn tame that was, and now seeing this and seeing just how Joss Whedon tame this is. You know, like clearly. They've taken down Joss Whedon a peg or two on this movie, right? It's just clear to me. Well, the character moments are far and few in between in this. Yeah. And they're missing. The things that he focuses on are gone in this thing. So no wonder he's not going to do another one.
The first movie had three or four memorable scenes outside of the battle scenes. This didn't have one outside of the battle scenes. I recall the battle scenes in this movie. And maybe the farm scene, because at least there was a twist there. I didn't know Hawkeye had a family, you know. But other than that, I really didn't care. And it doesn't bode well to me that People are leaving this movie in feeling, I don't want to say ripped off, but just downbeat. I think now what you're going to see in this phase three is that the declining grosses, that no longer are you going to see things topping what the other ones did, like we just saw between Avengers 1 and Avengers 2 with the individual Iron Man movie, Captain America, Thor, well, things like that.
It's unfortunate that it's not because of lack of interest in the characters or anything. I really got into these characters this time and kind of like, I liked the Hawkeye thing and all that. And those are the things that I liked. I didn't like the unnecessary noise that's in that movie, which is a lot, which is basically Ultron. But yeah, it's not for lack of not liking the characters and stuff. I would love to go watch more of these if they're good, but if they're more going to be like this, why the hell do I care?
Yeah. But it's still, it's solid. It's well made. It's, you know, it's crafted.
But doesn't it? Doesn't
it? It just feels perfunctory. It doesn't feel like we need this.
That's what Disney's doing, right? Yeah. I mean, they've done a couple Pixar sequels like this. They're pushing. They're pushing for the money, right? And so it makes you worried about Star Wars a little bit, right?
To think about it, it reminds you of Cars 2. Because Cars 2 is watchable, it's solid. You can recommend it. It's you watch it. It's well made and produced, but it's just not necessary. You know, it's one of those things. Nobody really loves Cars 2. Talk about Cars, people, oh yeah, I love Cars, but no one talks about Cars 2. That's a strange Pixar reference. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about Theory of Everything. Man, you're watching some Oscar nominees here. This was
Theory of Everything. Yeah, I know. I watch a lot of Oscar stuff.
The Hawking movie? Stephen Hawking's movie?
Yeah, the Oscars movies are a bit of a letdown this year.
I liked Whiplash quite a bit. And Birdman.
Yeah, I liked Birdman. Whiplash was, again, a bit of a letdown. It just really wasn't much of anything.
Now, what do you think about this one?
This movie, again, is just, it's kind of it's told, you know, this movie's a bit unfair because it's marketed as a biography of Stephen Hawking, but it's not. It's based on the book written by his ex-wife, and it's her story. You know, it's not his. So it's a bait and switch.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all. I didn't see this one.
Yeah, well, I knew that from the beginning going into this, but I still thought it was being. So it's really her story about her taking care of a guy who got ALS early on in their relationship and woe is life. And that's what it is. So all of his great accomplishments and all that stuff, all the science, all the cool things that you would want to know about frickin' Stephen Hawking are just glossed right over.
Well, I'm hearing a better performance than a movie then.
Oh, great performances all around. Yeah, for everyone. I mean, Eddie Redmayne's frickin' just... I think the guy has ALS in real life.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, like you look like Stephen Hawking. You kind of, it's like, wow.
Well, you've seen Birdman and now you've seen this. You think that he beats Keaton in the acting category? Well deserved Oscar?
No, because it's all about the role, right? And this role, I don't give a shit who portrayed better.
You did a reference Tropic Thunder here. He didn't
go full retard. Well, he went full retard in this. It's all about the role, and this role isn't as impactful and is not as important because it takes Stephen Hawking and just makes him into a guy that had ALS, you know, and he's so much more than it tries to, you know, with the theory of everything, you know, it tries to deal with that idea that life is more than, you know, could always be worse, you know, that kind, cause Stephen Hawking is an amazing dude. He got ALS. He's in his 70s now and he's, you know, still fairly upbeat. He's still doing what he loves to do. The dude's had like 3 kids. So, you know, he's getting fucked. I'm just saying, like,
even Hawking's getting fucked.
Hey man. So like he has such a great outlook on life. You know, if you ever feel sad about your life, like just remember Stephen Hawking's out there and he's fucking, he's probably pissed here and there, but
you're good. I think we've now lost any intellectual community we have. So
the point being, yeah, it's not as, I don't know, it's not as impactful or as deep a role as the Birdman, you know, was.
Oh, I'm seeing a little Birdman love there. I like it.
So, yeah, out of everything. So Birdman really deserved to win. I'd say skip it. It's not worth it. It's just really not. Like what I just said, imagine the dude's got, he gets ALS and she, it's really weird because she's like, I don't feel sorry for her because she doesn't, like they're just in love in this movie. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't do anything. They see each other from across the room, and then she falls in love with him. And then suddenly he gets ALS, and she's like, oh, well, you know, I've seen you twice. I guess I'll live the rest of my life taking care of you. It's just like, wait,
oh,
what?
Man.
Where's the, you, there's no romance. The there's just checked, nothing
my
in
man.
It.
Get the ticker checked.
Watch it. Watch the movie. There's no romance in it. There's no nothing. So it's poorly constructed.
So
poorly
what you're saying is your written. Problem with their romance was the same problem I had with the Hulk and the Black Widow? I mean, you got to speak my language here. Is that what
well,
you're
pretty
saying?
Much. It happens off screen, if it happens at all, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a non-recommendation of the Theory of Everything from Trevor there. I got to go negative on the Project Almanac, which I recently just saw. Now, this was the first person handheld perspective.
Was it first person?
Yeah, this was the found footage.
It was found footage, but it wasn't first person. Right?
Well, kind of, because someone's always behind the camera.
That's true.
I mean, this really isn't found footage.
Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Kind of, you know, it's like someone's always got a camera shooting.
No good time twist, though?
I wanted to like this movie because it reminded me of 1980s movies I liked, like My Science Project and even The Goonies and things like that. And there's a Spielbergian vibe to all these, including Chronicle and, you know, all these kind of Super 8 movies. But this one just didn't work for a lot of reasons, namely the fact that it's redundant and makes no sense and really keeps referencing other time travel movies in this cool neo-noir fashion, I guess. It made no sense to me that these kids are time traveling. There's time loops. In any time travel movie, you get the whole time loop thing trips you out. It's like, all right, where does it really start at and where are we at in this? And by the end, this movie has an ending that is not earned, that is illogical, improbable to say the least, illogical on a story level. And then things are supposed to be all cleared up. But yet everything that they've showed you before just means that how he finished the movie, he fucked things up even further. But basically what I'm saying is they establish a set of rules. They don't play by them. And then by the end of the movie, they want you to figure out that these rules ever existed. So I thought, and
that
the fact
sounds,
that it's
that sounds like a very easy way to write a movie.
Yeah, well, it pissed me off because I wanted to like it because I liked the young actors playing the roles. Uh-huh. I was getting kind of into it, but the fact also that it's this filming in the first person, or it's not even a found footage because no one's found this footage. It's not like this was discovered. It's just someone's fucking home movies they're showing you. It was just not necessary. You could watch this like a regular movie.
I was
going
to say, could someone have found the footage with the time travel?
They didn't even explain that really, though, where the footage came from. It just starts, you know, and it's like they're kind of documenting this experiment. I don't know. I'm telling you, there's moments that work in it because it has this kind of awe of moments where like it reminded me of the Goonies and things like that, and I wanted to go with it, but it just continually just shit in my face. I couldn't go with it. That's gonna be my blurb on the poster. This movie continually shit in my face.
Did I talk about The Quiet Ones yet?
No, this is that horror movie. Talk about the
found footage horror movie.
Is it found footage? I didn't know it was found footage. Oh. I'm glad you told me that. I was gonna watch it. It's on our queue.
It's fucking horrendous.
Really? I had imagined.
I hated it.
No way. I couldn't tell. I
fucking hated it, man. It's bad. It's like this possessed girl. So there's this university professor takes his team of students to go experiment on this possessed girl. And he's certain that it's like science, right? That she's not actually possessed by a demon.
I remember, I remember the trailer.
Yeah, I'm just explaining this to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I forgot.
Not necessarily telling you. But, and so, of course, right, it's real.
Real shitty.
There you go.
Hell of a twist.
Oh,
there.
Shit, did I ruin it? Yeah, big fucking surprise.
Did you see 50 Shades of Grey?
No.
Oh, yeah, you remember. You don't got to think about that one. Believe me, you remember. This fucking movie. Let me tell you about this movie.
No good?
No good. And I don't mean that because it's like
in fashion
to hate on it. This movie sucks. Like, I don't understand how anybody could actually like this movie because of what's on. I didn't read the book, but then again, I'm of the idea that you don't have to read a book to go see a movie and like the movie. If you know what I mean? The movie should stand on its own for whatever reason. I have this idea. Yeah. This movie.
That's crazy.
Is a fucking mess. This movie makes no talk about a hot relationship.
Mess. That's what I heard.
That develops.
It's very messy.
Between people. I mean, no, the sex. It's not titillating. It's not.
Are you sure?
It's not sexy. No, this movie is not.
It's not sexy.
It's not sexy. This movie.
When's the last time you saw Red Shoe Diary? Come on.
Oh, come on. I mean, movies like Basic Instinct. Hell, Sliver is far more sexy than this movie ever is. So give me a break. This movie sucks. Fact that this movie ends, and I'm telling you, there's a tacked on edited sequence that's kind of a collage of all their relationship up to that point, and they reuse a shot where he leaves his desk that implies that he goes after her, but that's a reused shot from earlier in the fucking movie that I guarantee you that was all cut together after test audiences shit on the movie.
So you don't want to see the sequel?
Do I want to see a sequel?
There's no
point of this movie. There's no obstacle in this movie. There's no problem. There's nothing that keeps them apart. They're just idiots. It's just, I'm telling you.
But they have dirty sex.
Kind of.
Oh.
Not really. I'm telling you.
Rated R?
I guess. I mean, it should be rated PG-13 for all I know.
You're not sure?
I mean, that is who knows. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's so unsexy. I couldn't even begin to tell you. And the guy is such a fucking jerk and shows up all over the place. I'm like, this guy's a stalker. You know, as far as
men. That's the thing I found about the trailers was he was just such a turnoff. As far as like, yeah, he just seemed like a real douche.
Who's
gonna believe that this guy is a fucking player and is like doing this shit and whatever? He's like taking her in the airplane. It's like, he gives a fuck.
Tell this guy to fuck off. It's like, who does this guy think he is? Thomas Crown? Tell this guy to fuck off. Okay, honestly, that's what I would say. If it's I was fucking the friend, James Bond, like, hey, fuck out of here with that shit. So I'm telling, we'll revisit this when you see this movie and we'll talk about it because I'm sure
I have to see it now.
Apparently, like
I have no plans unless it comes streaming.
You know it's on the queue.
Or not.
What about Big Hero 6? I haven't seen this one yet, but you did.
I didn't so much like it.
That's surprising.
I feel like I have to cringe and hold my hands up so people don't kill me. It just has no point. And it's takes place in Japanese San Francisco. I don't understand it. Why is San Francisco Japanese?
Well, I live in the Bay Area. Do you really want to get into specifics or what?
No, I mean,
it could be the futuristic version of San Francisco.
Okay, fair enough. It was pretty futuristic, but it's very Asian. I mean, like all the architecture has been changed to be.
Right. Is it anime or is that kind of what it's based on or what's the.
Yeah, so it does feel like that. But if that's the case. I'm a big boy. You don't got to set it in San Francisco. It could be in Japan. I'll still watch it. You know, there's no reason to be like, oh, you're American. I don't know why I'm doing that. It's Disney. It's not even, the Asians didn't even do it. It's not even their fault. It's like American guys like, see, I don't get it. Who did this? Why did they do it?
I think it's based on a Marvel property, right? That it's all preordained. I think Marvel.
Something
I think,
like that.
So I think Stan Lee is really what you
want to
get at it here.
I don't care who did it. I just want to know who did it because I don't understand it. We can get mad at Stan Lee. Stan Lee's – let me tell you a little bit. No, I'm not gonna. Okay, so Big Hero 6, you're going to be off on a tangent.
Tell me this.
Stan Lee's such a piece of shit.
Come on. Tell me that you don't think Stan Lee and Hugh Hefner secretly kick it.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Stan Lee wants everyone to believe it. Stan Lee's like Jay Leno. He's like, oh, it's not my fault. Like, bad shit happens. He's like, oh, I'm just an old man. It's like, are you kidding me? You have nothing to do with nothing. Sure.
Anyhow. I love the fact that you think Stan Lee is Dr. Evil, but let's continue later on that.
Anyhow, Big Hero 6. I get why. Like young boys with like this, kids and stuff. It's big, it's loud, it's fun, I guess. I like the big fat robot things, fun. And TJ Miller does a voice, so that's always great.
You love TJ Miller,
but
you love your TJ.
It just doesn't have a point. It's just the bad guy, the kid. Creates this thing and then they would steal it and he goes to get it and it's really long-winded, like his brother dies and then like His brother made this robot. Everyone's making robots. Apparently this kid's a genius, by the way, because he's building these robots and things that the big corporations want. He wants to go to school at the school. And so he makes this robot thing that no one's apparently groundbreaking. Why the fuck he wants to go to school? I don't know. He could just sell it and be a billionaire. But he doesn't want to do that.
There's the message.
So already I don't understand it. I'm already like, I don't get it. Who in their fucking right? You could, if you sold that, you could buy the school. You'd be there. No, you could go there all the time. So I don't get it. And then it just turns into this quasi superhero thing. And by the end of it, they're Big Hero 6, so like a hero squad because they fought off this guy.
Well, so you get that problem that I got where you apply logic to movies, and that's just not gonna work in your favor.
It's just all over the place. I just didn't like the story. I guess, you know, I like the characters. It was all that stuff's all good. I think Disney always does a good job with that. But the story overall didn't make a lot of sense and just wasn't very good for me. But if you got kids, I guarantee you they'll like it.
Yeah, kids apparently are responding very well. It's a big sure. hit. Yeah. And that robot thing is like the next, I guess, the big kind of like lovable creature.
Yeah, Baymax is awesome.
What's his name?
Baymax.
I think you said Betamax. I almost.
I know, right? It makes you almost. Shit. I know.
Is his friend VCR?
I know. He's awesome.
Well, let me. All right. So you sheepishly didn't want to say you negatively reviewed Big Hero 6, and I am doing the same as I am giving a positive review to Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, and I can't fucking believe.
Did you hate the first one?
No, I hated the first.
Really? So then what's so special?
I've never liked a Kevin James movie. What's different? Movie
what?
I don't know what is different. Let me tell you what's different. Mm-hmm. I wanted to laugh. The movie made me laugh. I mean, I'm not going to sit like I'm on Mount Olympus and
quick, revisit like, Zookeeper.
I never saw. I saw parts of Zookeeper.
It's so bad.
Man, I know. This movie honestly made me laugh out loud two or three times. It's about 88 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's silly is the best way I can describe it because it's about as harmless.
What's different than the first one? If you didn't like the first one at all,
I'll tell you what's different.
Or was it the movie?
The fact that they have a better supporting cast around him. Gary Valentine plays he's like supporting cast of the guys at the convention that he goes to in Vegas, the security convention. You got Nikki DeTuro playing a guy. All these kind of celebrity cameos. Other comedians show up. In little cameos, but I really thought that James took. First of all, it's kind of sad. I mean, his wife leaves him and his mother dies in the first 3 minutes of the movie, and this character is like they're making fun of a very sad, overweight guy. But for whatever reason, I mean, there's a whole bit where there's a very attractive hotel manager who he thinks is coming on to her, and he tells her, "Ma'am, I'm not ready for that." And she kind of is taken aback, like, well, "What are you talking about?" But as it goes on and plays out, she becomes more and more flustered when she sees him, and he slowly turns the tide on her. And it's stupid. It worked for me. He tells her, "Your lip is sweating." You know, your lip is sweating as he shuts a door on her, and she has to wipe her lip. You know, it's like it's shit like that. And James pulls it off in the role.
It sounds funny.
That's what I'm saying. I laughed out loud two or three times, and I thought. This movie's only, you know, been on for half an hour, and I'm laughing like this, and I couldn't fucking believe that I'm giving it 3 stars.
You're a real son of a bitch. Make me want to watch Paul Blart 2.
I'm a real son of a bitch for this. Let me tell you. I couldn't believe it. I've eaten a lot of shit about this already. But you know what? I'm like I said, if it's a comedy and it comes on like and makes you laugh, comedies. It does its job. And
I'm waiting for Joe Dirt 2.
Yeah, so am I.
Pins and needles over here.
And I typically like all the, you know, the Sandler stuff, but Blended was so bad.
Did you
bad
see that it's Here Comes the Boom? Bad. Did you see that one?
I did see that. And, you know, I didn't care for that at all.
You didn't like Here Comes the Boom?
Not particularly, no.
It's not bad.
I'm telling you, this is the first Kevin James movie outside of Hitch and Now I Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Like where he's the co-star in both of
kind
those.
Kind of doesn't count either, yeah.
First one that I've liked. So. I say check it out.
I bet you watch it again next week. You hate it.
Maybe.
How high were you when you watched this?
You know, we don't talk about such things in the air. We got a large audience out there. We're trying to keep this for the kids. So give me your streaming pick of the week. Didn't you have one? Is it Death Machine?
No. Well, I got another review.
What do you got? I'm sorry if I trampled on your review.
I got a movie that I fucking fell in love with called Begin Again.
Oh, is this that Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley movie?
Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley movie. I thought it was... amazing. You know, they're both of them are kind of indie darlings, and this movie is an indie darling.
Yeah,
just a great movie. If you want a feel good movie all the way through, this is it.
I've heard nothing but positive things about it. This is the guy who did Once, correct?
This is the guy who did Once, which I wasn't a huge fan of Once, but this is a lot like that. There's music throughout it. You liked Once, and you probably like this. I thought this story was superior to Once. But Mark Ruffalo plays this down-and-out kind of music executive guy, and he discovers Keira Knightley, and they kind of together, you know, they both fall on hard times in their personal lives, and together they kind of through this business venture of they're going to record an album for her, and they're going to do it live, but all around the city in New York. And so it's just them going around and them kind of piecing their lives back together. But it's really good. It's surprisingly good.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things. I mean, the Weinsteins tried to market this last summer. It did fairly good at the specialty box office, but never really caught fire. And then you didn't hear anything about it come Oscar season. So I think it was nominated for Best Song, I believe, somewhere in there. But
I don't know. I mean, Ruffalo's awesome, and Knightley's great.
Ruffalo's always really good, isn't he? I mean,
that's
Ruffalo
what I'm saying. These two, solid. both of these two have been really good at picking for their careers. But the movies are all great, but they don't get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, even Keira Knightley, because I thought she was great in Atonement. I always, you know, kind of glaze over those things and think about the pirate movies and kind of shit like that mm-hmm. she's done when she's done good work, too, outside of this. All right, I'm going to have to give this one a shot. So you're going to have to see Paul Blart, and I'm going to have to see Begin Again.
Oh, boy.
Deal. All right, quickly, I saw San Andreas Quake, which you might go, hey, you saw the Dwayne Johnson movie, but no, I saw the Asylum Mockbuster, the knockoff B movie, and this one really is a... on the middle rungs of the Mockbuster scale, if that means anything to you, if you follow these sci-fi premieres or if you get these at the Redbox or Netflix. But this one is obviously the takeoff of the Dwayne Johnson movie, but this is really just edited stock footage of other disaster movies that they have and the really bad storyline.
I was going to say, because they've made a lot of disaster movies, including Megafault, which was already an earthquake movie. So I was wondering how much of Megafault is in this movie.
I mean, I can't tell where Megafault ends, the Thousand-Year Storm begins, you know, Iron Invader stops.
Oh, boy.
I think they have, like, at this point, just hundreds of shots of the world ending. So they're using them to their advantage, but this one is not very good. So sorry to report that one. San Andreas Quake. Stay away from, go see San Andreas instead. So your online pick of the week, you got one?
Yeah, watch Zombievers. I don't know.
Zombievers. All right. I'm going with Tabloid, which is this crazy documentary about a woman who kidnapped a Mormon man in the 70s, shackled him up, made love to him for 3 days, and then he escaped and she was never the same. It's called Tabloid by Earl Morris. One of the great documentarians.
Who was never the same?
Anybody. Me, after watching the documentary. This is one of the most bizarre stories and documentaries I've ever seen in my life. So watch this thing. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going into it any further, so I'll talk about it for the next hour. It's fucking bizarre.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, it really is. It's on the Netflix right now.
I'll have to watch it. My brother likes documentaries. I'll get him to watch it.
It reminded me of the one, I believe it's called Strange Love, with the couple where
the guy throws the acid on it. I was going to actually just mention that. That's very good.
Yeah, no,
we got Kismet going on here. How many fingers am I holding up?
One. The other one's up my ass. No, that's my finger.
That's really scary because there's two fingers I got. One of them is up my ass.
Can you see these cards? 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock? All right.
Trailers?
Trailers. Yeah, let's get this.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Oh, the captain. The
fucking captain's on tonight, huh?
If you could sound like anyone, it would be like, it would be Patrick Stewart, right?
I think I would just like to talk like that, like, you know, I'm like, when I'm fucking, when, you know, just like, just in general, you know.
Make
like,
it so, I know.
I just, think I need just a rag to wipe my penis. Just like, just make it sound really regal. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about the trailer for Point Break, which I'm of
Do
two
we
minds.
Have to?
I'm of two minds
I'm of
on
one
this.
Mind on this one.
All right, well, let's go. You go. Let me hear.
You go. This looks like shit.
That's one of my minds.
What's the other one? Because this looks cheap as fuck. This looks like a cheap, stupid. I mean, it's clearly money was spent, but beyond that, this is just. There's no brains at all in this.
I hate the casting.
Right? I hate the casting. I hate the moments in the trailer between these characters. I hate the whole thing. I don't like it. It looks cheap. It looks really stupid. It misses the whole point of the original. They took the original movie and all they did was turn it into crap. Not that it wasn't crap to begin with, but it was good crap. Now it's just crap.
No. The first one's a fucking classic. You don't talk dirty about that. I mean, come on now. The first one is a great movie. The whole point of the first one that these guys were financing the endless summer, you know, like they just kept moving around and they're not even surfers. That was the whole fucking point. I get that they're extreme athletes now and, you know, they're fucking
just doing it for the kicks
or whatever that shit is. You know, they're cave diving.
Going to the caves.
Yeah, I mean, it's going crazy. And I like the idea that they're robbing and like kind of giving to the rich, the poor. But you're right. The moment in the trailer where he goes after him does not work.
Any moment. Pick a moment. This, all of it.
This guy looks like Chris Hemsworth's like cousin who didn't come kick it.
Don't they all feel a little fake? The whole thing feels fake to me. It feels like it's trying too hard. Yeah, it's just not. But I don't like the special effects. I don't like the stunts.
It might hit with the younger.
No, it's going to hit great because it looks like it looks like the last piece of shit Fast and Furious movie.
It does.
No point, nothing. It looks like Mission Impossible and Fast and Furious had a baby. It would be Point Break. So yeah, I'm sure this will do great.
As we cynically move on.
Has no point.
And feel old.
I feel bad.
I just say watch the original. It still holds up.
Watch this horrible thing. Okay.
Steve Jobs releases a quick teaser trailer this week, and it's really not much other than a very quick glimpse, but I'm already hooked. I want to see this.
You're hooked?
No, you're not?
I feel like I'm just done with Aaron Sorkin at this point.
I like the way that this looked. I liked Seth Rogen's look in this.
It didn't look like I hated Seth Rogen's voice. Why? Because Seth Rogen is Seth Rogen. He's not Steve Wozniak. And it's so Seth Rogen. It's like, that's Seth Rogen. The dialogue is so Sorkin. It's just unbelievable. In every faucet.
I love that theatricality, though. Honestly,
it's
I
too
loved
much.
It.
I thought it was too much. And I don't care to have... I don't care to have my icons taken and have words shoved in their mouth as if Shakespeare wrote their lives. It's ridiculous.
They got
away with it once with Social Network. It got away with it, and it was really good. But continuing to do this is just not. It's just pointless. I don't get it.
Well, I always say that there. It's more. Well, all we've heard is just proclamations. Really, that's all you're hearing.
You're gonna get out of it. It's Aaron Sorkin. You've seen his shit. Do you think there's gonna be more to this movie?
I hope so. I think I'm expecting a lot more.
Like what?
Like a fucking Oscar nomination. This song, bitch.
I don't like Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs.
I'll take it. I mean,
I don't like Seth Rogen and Steve Wozniak. It could be worse. I thought Ashton Kutcher was a great Steve Jobs, to be honest with you.
I thought Josh Gad was a great Wozniak.
So did I. That was the cast. That was the movie.
That was the cast they should have used, yeah.
Yeah, too bad that movie was a piece of shit.
They just focused on the wrong years. I mean, we said it before. I think they focused on the wrong time of his life and the wrong aspect.
Well, this movie may be well. But all right. Yeah, it was just a teaser, so.
Let's move on and talk about Dope, which is the Sundance darling that is finally getting a theatrical release. This is a Red Band trailer, coming-of-age story. Really kind of hard to tell with the trailer, but I hear it's about a kid who's selling weed to finance some sort of something for his prom. But really looks like, a coming-of-age story during the late 80s, early 90s hip-hop era. I like this trailer a whole lot. I want to see this movie.
It looks good. The more and more I see this, the better it looks.
Yeah, the first trailer was a little awkward, I thought, but this one looks a little better.
Yeah, but it still looks good enough. Reminds me of a Stand By Me kind of a thing with young adults, you know, coming of age, but going on a wild adventure. So I'm good with it. I think it looks great.
Also reminded me of The Wood, which was, you know, the one with a couple made probably 12, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Omar Epps was in it and a couple of their guys. And some of the early Spike Lee stuff with talking to the camera and breaking fourth wall and things like that. I mean, it's been a long time since you've seen...
Did they do that in this?
From a couple of trailers I saw. I don't know when you say allow me to reintroduce myself. I don't know if that's just part of a skit they're doing or...
Sure.
Oh, wait, it looks like he's breaking the fourth wall, so maybe I'm wrong there.
He might be. I don't know. It wasn't in this trailer, but yeah.
You see the trailer for Cooties?
I did.
What do you think of this Cooties movie? It's a nursery school or elementary school where all the kids get infected with a zombie virus and the teachers don't. And
so they've done zombies in school a lot. All right, quite a few of these little fun zombies in my school movies.
Like that.
And so it looks just as good as any of those. I think it looks fine. It looks like a fun way to kill an hour and a half. I'm hoping it's not longer than that.
Yeah. Got a nice cast.
But other than that, yeah, it looks on par with everything else. Looks like a fun time. I'd watch it, but it's not going to be anything special.
It's not a world beater. I haven't seen any of the other kid-turned-zombie movies, so maybe this is my one shot at watching.
There's been a couple. They're all very good. I don't know. They're all made by people who know how to, you know, put their tongue in their cheek. If you know what I'm talking about.
Thank God. I need to meet some of those fucking people. Could use a good tongue in the cheek. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Pixels finally releases a full trailer, and this is an improvement on the first trailer, I thought.
Oh, I didn't even watch it.
Oh, well, this thing is much better than the first trailer. So I'll just briefly say
How's it better?
I just think that the jokes
fill me in.
there's a lot more of the cast in this one. There's a lot more jokes in this one, and Kevin James, at least, looks like, I mean, there's a bit there with Donkey Kong and the whole nine there. You know, don't tell anyone I killed a Smurf. And
well, I thought the first trailer looked fun.
You thought you didn't. I didn't like the first trailer, so then
you think this one looks at least has more of the fun that you wanted the first one to have?
Yes, this one looks like the movie that I thought the first one that I thought it was going to be, but that first one looked like it could end up like Evolution, like I said, like a bad Ivan Reitman comedy.
I liked Evolution though.
Oh man, okay. Can we agree that my my super ex girlfriend sucks?
It does, but I still don't mind it.
That's because you like Luke Wilson, man.
Luke Wilson. Shut the hell up, man.
Anybody that knows sports knows the Mendoza line, okay? Luke the Wilson. Fucking Mendoza line. Your Mendoza line is Luke Wilson. Anything Luke Wilson is in, you're about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like fucking Luke Wilson movies. You'd watch Luke Wilson wash a car on film.
Ooh.
So, let's get crazy here. Did you watch the full trailer for Black Mass? You
see this? I did.
Okay. You think it looks better than the trailer or the teaser?
I do, but is Johnny Depp just not trying too hard or what?
Why does he look like a vampire?
I
think
it's, I know. The liver spots and shit. It's off-putting to me to see someone, I don't know, try so hard. It feels like he's trying awfully hard.
What do you mean, like he's acting with a capital A?
Yeah, like he's like, I'm this character now. And you're like, no, you're Johnny Depp. You're not fooling me.
I think the movie looks enticing. I don't think the I think it's hard now for Depp. I think we've seen so many of his faces for him to disappear into a role. This looks very much like what he was doing with Dillinger.
I think he's no, my God, are you kidding me? This is what this is. You think this performance is anything like the Dillinger performance? Come
from the trailer, he's in the same kind of like breathy, tough guy. I take that back.
Yeah, maybe it's the make. No, he's really putting it on. He's laying it on.
He's
thick
fucking
in this movie.
Laying it on thick in this one.
He's going home and he's, you know, he's fucking Amber Heard in that bald cap, man. I know it.
Well, I mean, who can blame him?
Him and those dogs.
He could go to jail.
He can never go back to Australia.
He smuggled his dogs into Australia, and it might cost him 10 years in prison. And I think the only one pushing the case is Amber Heard. I swear to God. She's like, they're going to lock him up? That's really?
Get rid of him.
Yeah, 10 years, Johnny, go away. Let me tell you what, Johnny Depp will do 10 years and come out and look not aged a fucking day, because I'm pretty sure the guy's Dorian Gray. You know what I mean? The guy doesn't age.
He'll look better.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I've aged through life, and I look at Johnny Depp, and he looks the same as he did on 21 Jump Street when I was like 10. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen?
He looks older than that.
Yeah, I mean, but barely. Barely. Yeah. And Christina Ricci's aged more, and she had like a 20-year disadvantage.
She does look. They look the same age.
She's like at least 20, 25 years fucking younger.
No.
Okay, well, she's at least 20 years younger, if not more. I mean, Depp's got to be in his 50s, and she's got to be in her 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, Christ, she is. I'm telling you. I don't know. Maybe the
it's good genetics, man. It's good genetics.
Maybe you should just go over to Europe and smoke fucking cigarettes and drink coffee and alcohol all day. That's great. It's great for things for the skin.
That'll kill you. Oh. So you're saying that the real Johnny Depp is the bald person?
Exactly.
he's wearing makeup. This is he's down to his core in this movie, in this performance.
No, really.
He's stripped of all
what
his
you don't understand is that Mickey Rourke isn't a human being. It's a character that Johnny Depp plays. So
I get that. Yeah. I get that.
Well, let's talk about End of the Tour, which is with the Jason Segel, Jesse Eisenberg, Oscar, mm-hmm. Oscar wannabe.
Oscar. Everything's an Oscar wannabe.
Yeah,
yes, this is Jess Eisenberg plays a Rolling Stone reporter. Yeah, thank you. And Jason Segel is David Foster Wallace, who I don't know if people know or not, but he was the latest. There hasn't been a novelist, I don't think, since.
Yeah,
it's like been this big.
Yeah.
This big of a deal. I remember when he died, it was a big deal, but I never read the book Infinite Jest. Very famous book. And this is about their encounter, I guess. And he was a depressed person and wound up killing himself, but I guess I've read some things that he's written, and he does have a very interesting outlook on life and, you know, the way that media, especially television at his time, played on his art form or the art form, you know, the novelists and stuff. So I always wonder what he would think of today, the internet, you know, how that would play into authors and stuff.
I think this trailer looks fantastic.
Isn't it? It's a little incredible to me that they cast so well just from the people that they have available to them, that you can find people who look like people.
Yeah, no,
Jason Segel looks
just like him.
Dead ringer for David Foster.
I know.
Wallace.
Right when I saw the trailer, I said, "Oh, I read the article that this is based on." Because I remember a picture, and I thought, "Yep, that's the guy right there for sure." Because with the headband and the glasses and the whole nine. And not only that, isn't it amazing in a sense that guys like Segel and Eisenberg, and just recently with Franco and Hill with True Story, they're in these movies that are legit dramas, that are like based on real life events, that are like legit fucking drama, that are acted well, that look like serious fucking movies. Like these guys are coming into their own, not only in, you know, the goofy stoner stuff, but which they've all been a part of, all four of these guys, but in real movies now they're telling stories. I mean, this looks like, you know, the Falcon and the Snowman type movie with seriousness, like with Hutton and Penn and those kind of guys.
Yeah, for sure. They don't, I don't know, they're, like I say, these movies are just, the movies themselves don't garner enough credit, and so these guys don't get looked at as serious, you know?
I'd see this, though. Would you
I think it looks
this?
Good.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, I think this is actually one of the better trailers on the Today Show. Looking at this lineup.
Yeah.
The Point Break though really breaks my heart. That's the one that just
it
really
just feels so cheap, man. They took something and they really ruined it. I don't know, but it's gonna make money, right? So, God, I hope it doesn't. God, I hope it crashes and burns.
Well, it's bizarre because Fast and Furious was really the sequel that Point Break never got. Because Fast and Furious took that whole idea and put it onto Hot Wheels. So Fast and Furious 1 was Point Break 2.
But again, the first Fast and Furious is a good movie.
And it's still going, though, and now they're doing – so really we'll get Point Break 2.
But it's not good anymore. Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully this flops.
No, this isn't going to
flop. Because I don't want to see these movies anymore. I don't want to watch this pointless action movies. I want – an action movie that has a point.
Just leave Speed alone is all I'm saying, because that's coming at some point.
That's a good movie, yeah.
That still holds up, and I don't need that fucked with. Point Break still holds up, like I said. So, on that note, let's wrap up episode 272. This was a long one for you guys today. It's been a couple weeks off, so we gave you a little bit something extra called to supersize.
It's just a little over an hour, 1 hour and 8 minutes. We're not bad.
That's what she said.
We're
just
good.
A little bit long. We put the trailers on. If you want to see these trailers,
I'd be chafed.
Exactly. Better get that gold bond going. If you do want to see the trailers we talked about on today's show, go to the Movie Mavericks page that this podcast is located on. They're on the bottom of the page. You can watch them there. Get all of our old podcasts, our library podcasts at iTunes,
Stitcher. They're actually from the future when we're old.
Right. This is a Project Almanac moment where we've done this four times over.
If you can listen to all the podcasts, see if you can find the entry point to the loop. maybe you'll get out.
Sometimes I can't find the entry point at all. I need a little guidance. But
no. Sometimes the entry point's a little small.
And that's the end of the tour. Wrapping up 272, I am Jason Rugard. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!